Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we want to explore a little more about why God made man and woman. We read that God made woman to be a helper, that he really sensed that Adam needed this suitable helper. And what we read at the end of Genesis chapter 2 is that the Lord God made a woman from the rib he'd taken out of the man. He brought her to the man, and the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She'll be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Now, what Genesis now does is just give us a little introduction as to what marriage is all about. And there are a few principles just in these last few verses of chapter 2, which I believe are very, very helpful. They're developed far more in some of the teaching of Jesus, and indeed the Apostle Paul, particularly in Ephesians chapter 5. But we do have the basic principles here. The first thing, which I believe is very important, is that we need to understand that marriage is God's idea. It wasn't Adam's idea. Adam didn't complain and say to God, "Look, I'm fed up on my own. Please make someone else to join me." It wasn't his idea. It was God's idea. And the second thing that we notice is that a marriage is a fresh and an entity in itself. Genesis says that's why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. Now, the Bible, as you study it, has lots to say about honouring father and mother and about family life and respect. But a marriage is a unique entity. Though father and mother, the father and mother of Adam, the father and mother of Eve, as it were, although, of course, God was the one who brought them to be, but the father and mother in a relationship today, they are significant, they are to be valued. But when you marry a wife, then you do need to make a fresh start. You need to establish your own relationship in a context that you're part of a wider family, but very much starting afresh. Leave father and mother united to his wife. There's many marriages where the tie with parents can be very unhelpful and in fact very destructive, and it's not helpful if a wife feels she's being constantly compared with her husband's mother, or if the wife compares the husband to her father. "My father always handled this, why aren't you doing it?" There is a rightful leaving and starting afresh, a willingness to accept one another, grow together, and to love one another. The Bible says, united to his wife, and they become one flesh. This clearly refers to that very special, intimate relationship which a man and woman are able to have, and out of which, of course, children can be conceived and ultimately born. It's a very important part of marriage. It's not what marriage is entirely about. It is that companionship that the scriptures speak of, that friendship, that joining together, sharing life together. But obviously, producing children is a very, very special part of marriage, and the whole sense of being one flesh is very significant. But it's so significant that men and women entering marriage are strongly urged, don't stray, don't have this one flesh relationship outside of marriage, because that just brings insecurity, it brings impurity, it brings lots of problems to any children. Finally, we just read, Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Before sin came into the world, they were able just to enjoy one another in every way. Sexually, they were able to enjoy one another. Physically, fellowshipping, talking. There was no sense of shame at all. No guilt, no fear, no hidden things, no secrets. An open, pure relationship. I know sin has come into the world, but God still would ask us in Christ to seek to have that sort of relationship with our husbands, with our wives today. We must pause. We're going to have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me to talk a little bit more about the beginnings of marriage as described in Genesis chapter 2.
I surrender to everything you are, and I will lay down the things that I desire, and I will offer a living sacrifice to you. Lord, take all of me and give me all of you. Lord, take all of me and give me all of you. Surrender to everything you are, and I will lay down the things that I desire, and I will offer a living sacrifice to you. Lord, take all of me, give me all. Take all of me and give me all of you. Lord, take all of me and give me all of you. Lord, take all of me. Give me all of you. You gave it all for me. You gave.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to talk to Richard further about these verses from the end of Genesis chapter 2. It's verses 21 to 25, Richard, where the Bible talks about how Eve was created, and really, as you were saying, the beginnings of marriage. Can we look at modern marriage today and really relate it back to these verses from the Bible?
Yes, very much so, because it's worth emphasising again that marriage is not an institution of man, it is an institution of God. And that's one of the clearest things about the Genesis account. God wanted this special, unique relationship, which is why when we live in a world where there are other relationships, where people enter into sexual relationship without being married, without being joined by God in heart and mind, all of these things are greatly questioned by the Bible. But what is honoured by the Bible is when we admit that this is God's plan and we want to run with his plan in his way.
A lot of people would say that the type of marriage, Christian marriage that you're talking about, is very much under attack today, with divorce rates increasing in many countries. And as you say, lots of different other types of relationships. So should we be concerned for the future of marriage, would you say?
Well, I think we certainly can be concerned. But I think we need to teach our young people, especially, what the biblical principles are. Because clearly, God's plan is not to be restrictive, it's not to make life miserable, and this is a terrible alternative and you're going to suffer, but I like to see you suffer. That's quite ridiculous. That's not how God sees it. Now God has got a lovely plan, and if we come back to his plan and do things his way, that's ultimately for our benefit and happiness.
Now, over the years, the issue of the ending of marriages, the issue of divorce, has been a huge and controversial issue. Jesus had a lot to say about it, didn't he, at the time? But I was just wondering whether this, or all of that conversation, goes back to these verses. In terms of what you were saying about the importance of woman being created from man, and man not being able to sort of to split that, to change that, because of the damage to the relationship that's caused.
Well, that's right. Of course, we know that marriages fail. We know that there can be a lot of misery when people feel they've made the wrong choice, and how do they put up with it? But at the same time, it doesn't alter the principle, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't work at marriage. There is such an attitude, a castaway attitude. If something breaks, instead of trying to repair it, we throw it away. Mm. That's increasingly true right across the world. And with relationships, God wants us to work at it and to pray over it and to be unselfish. And that's what Christian marriage is all about. It's give and take. It's learning to live together God's way.
And finally, those verses just at the end of chapter 2, where they were naked and not ashamed, it kind of reflects, doesn't it, a sort of innocence and purity about this particular period of history, if we can call it that, which we don't see now.
Well, sadly, the fall is coming, and we're going to pick that up in the next program. But it is the reality that the sort of, I like the word innocent purity that you use there, that's how it was. No shame. But that still is what God is wanting for us. And of course, in Christ, forgiveness, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we can actually have a taste of this guiltless, no shame experience. God wants that, and he's able to wipe away the past and to bring us into wholeness.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us next time as we continue looking at God's word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.